Welcome, guys, to another episode of Facility and Property Management Radio. I'm your host, Javier Lozano Jr. with CMI Mechanical. We are a national HVAC and refrigeration company that works all over the country to take care of your multi-site retail stores or restaurants, properties, that sort of stuff. Today's guest we have is Tyler Neubauer from Kiefer Starlight. They are a national signage company that essentially works with companies all over the country for signage for indoor and outdoor. And I think this is something that a lot of people actually don't really understand the importance of proper signage, not just to find your business or your location, but to make sure that what your messaging is, what your brand is getting revealed correctly. So Kiefer Starlight has been working with companies all over the country, Tyler's going to be talking a little bit more about what he does and how he can help you out on improving your signage. So, Tyler, thanks a lot for taking the time today to jump on this podcast and kind of share a little bit more about what your company does. So just kind of, you know, I guess give me the full story of what you do and what you guys do to help service other facility managers, property managers, that sort of stuff out there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks for the introduction there, Javier. I've been with Kiefer Starlight now for going on 5 years. And my current role here is national sales or account manager. So I'm working directly with the purchasing agents, facility maintenance managers, regional managers at Fortune 500 companies, all the way to mom and pop shops, hospitals, so on and so forth, working with them to put together kind of their branding package. That varies, right? Like you mentioned, so it can go anything from a directional sign on their campus that just directs traffic, building branding, you know, marketing on their actual building, their brand on their building, exterior lighted signs, or, you know, some of like hospitals to change pace and ADA signage, stuff of that nature, interior signage that serves kind of a completely different role, obviously, than your typical branding signage on the outside of a retail building. So what I do personally is I work with these people to help them, you know, really construct their brand and get it from paper to really physical manufactured industrial signs on their building. So that's kind of long story short. Obviously, there's a lot of processes that happen in between that and a lot of other people on our team that are involved. But I act kind of as the main point of contact and the first point of contact when working with these different companies to help them get them on track to where they need to be to make sure that their brand's looking up to par, consistent across all different locations, and making sure that they're, you know, satisfied with lead times, finished product, the actual brand look, you know, consulting with them to help them. You know, sometimes a brand logo doesn't necessarily translate well into an actual sign. So there's a lot that goes into consulting to make sure it all kind of comes together to make sure they get the product that they desire and drive traffic, right? You know, create business for them personally. So
that's awesome. It's great to see that you guys really do focus on a big array of business. And I can only imagine how challenging that is to work with customers that don't quite understand the whole signage thing. They just want something that just, you know, their logo or their company name or whatever, just to be on a board or, you know, on a monument sign, that sort of stuff. And there's probably a lot more stuff to what you currently do as, you know, as an account manager there at Kiefer Starlight, where you're kind of working with your customers and walking them through the process, if you will.
Yeah, no, it gets interesting for sure, because like you just pointed out, you know, obviously there's certain things that, and not if you're not necessarily a signage expert in the industry, that you wouldn't just know offhand. So you send me a PDF via email, and I open it up and I'm like, oh yeah, that looks awesome. That looks great. So you want this whole thing to be lit and you want it to be 7 feet tall and you want these small tagline letters to also illuminate. And, you know, the stroke width on that is the width of the actual letter is what I'm talking about, you know, an inch. And I was like, oh, you know, that can't illuminate. So the process really is, you know, we take this logo from conception really, you know, for different brands, whatever it may be. We have a customer, for instance, that's this case study, that someone comes to us and they want to rebrand, say, a certain section of their stores region by region for the next 2 years, right? So they come to us with this new logo and consult with us and say, this is what we'd like to do. From there, we have internal design teams and engineers who I would be, you know, be consulting with personally myself as well, using their expertise to go through the logo and kind of dissect what works, what doesn't, you know, from color, you know, certain colors we tend to stay away from, like blue you know, anybody, next time you're driving around, you look at any blue letter set from the road and you tell me if you can read it. Cause I got pretty good eyes and I can't read it. It blurs out. Actually, the color blurs out as you actually illuminate it, as opposed to like a red or white letter set, which is going to be really crisp, nice, modern looking on your facade. So we'll look at colors, the actual sizing of it, spacing between certain letters. And so we'll take their logo and their concept and pretty much work on that design to make it really the finished product, what you end up seeing on the building. Making sure the amount of LEDs that are populated are correct, the film used for the faces, so on and so forth. So you take the concept, you put it through design, we work with our design team to consult with them to kind of cross, you know, reference what they want to do and where we can see it going to make sure we get the desired outcome, but making it in a manner that's efficient, you know, cost efficient. Timing, you know, if everything's going to come off as a very custom sign, that could be problematic for them in different ways. Thinking about local codes, which are constantly changing these days, that will really direct what we can and can't do. So you're trying to kind of find that sweet spot with their logo and what they'd like to see that's on paper, make that come to life on an actual building, knowing all these different factors that'll come to play, you know, local municipalities, like I mentioned, the design factors, engineering, and then obviously something that can be, depending on the customer, you know, if it's a large Fortune 500 customer, I'd, you know, recommend standardizing as much as you can the logo to make it cost efficient. And so it can be as consistent as possible because, you know, marketing 101, consistency is key for everything. You know, if you have different signs at different locations, people might think of you as different businesses and might actually understand what is what, right? So I always preach consistency and standardization. That's, you know, a big key in that. So I was going to say, whereas, you know, maybe if I had like a customer who has one large facility and they're more of a one-off type or maybe have a few nationally or regionally, maybe you look at maybe spending more on a custom sign to pop to really get your, you know, your brand out there. You know, if I'm a local, for instance, I'm sure there's everybody's aware there's a lot of local bars, local bar scenes, right? For example, but everybody knows that one bar with that one crazy looking sign, you know, and that might, you know, it helps to go into your memory set to then think, okay, now I'm thinking of this place. I understand the brand. So maybe you spend more and go more custom when you are smaller because you can kind of, when you try to do so and replicate that across 500 locations, the cost sometimes become astronomical and inefficient. So, and then you run into quality issues as well. So.
I love how you basically take this whole consulting kind of approach through the entire process because, I mean, as a former business owner myself, there are a lot of regulations and rules that I'm not aware of that we have to follow in the city and whatnot, and signage companies typically know what those are. But then you also walk them through the process of, you know, what to do, what to expect, you know, maybe even compare some what you've done work in the past and, you know, love to have you kind of just, I guess, more elaborate on that part of it as well too, on just kind of your consultative kind of approach. I mean, as a salesperson, I love that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, what we end up fine tuning their sign package to be obviously is depend on their needs, A, and B, the industry they're in. Often between different industries, whether it be a healthcare location or retail or, you know, more of a destination or experience, you know, like there's certain, you know, things out there these days, like Topgolf, for instance, something of that nature, where it's kind of everything you're going to do is kind of depending on the industry first and foremost. I think, you know, first you start there, but when looking at the sign package, whatever it may be, it's always kind of big picture. It's always in the back of the mind, you know, so if I see some customer comes to me and they're a small shop, or their locations, a smaller location in a strip mall, and they want to have their own large pylon sign. I can already kind of tell you off the bat, that's probably not going to happen. You know, looking at the different, you know, where they're at and the surrounding landscapes, what might already be existing, landlord criteria is another one that, you know, throw out there to be aware of. But so you're always kind of keeping all that in mind because, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want to be wasting anybody's time. Everybody's time is obviously more and more important these days, and we have less and less of it probably seems. So it's always kind of keeping that in mind. You know, probably one of the worst things that can happen for certain retailers is we create a sign package for them. And if a local code isn't ran or something of that nature, we get all the way to permitting. And then we have to start over because someone didn't do a code check. You know, that's something they'd work, you'd kind of think about as on the customer side of my kind of business here. You want to make sure that the sign company is doing their due diligence. And that's something we do here at Keeper Starlight, obviously, is we're a turnkey. So that's something we do in-house, you know, checking codes, talking to localities, calling landlords once we get their information from the customer to cross-reference any sign criteria they may have with the code. Obviously, looking at the physical facade itself, you know, actually physically being able to fit on the facade, existing power to be able to light it, so on and so forth. So I think it's always kind of, for me anyway, looking at big picture and really making sure that I'm incorporating all the different aspects and factors that come into play before we can get to the final design that we know can get approved. So oftentimes that means doing a lot of due diligence up front, or looking in the archives, seeing what we have done recently, because we are a national company. So we're often working in the same areas with different, you know, different customers. Sometimes we have a handful of customers in the same strip mall right next to each other, which makes our job a little easier as far as efficiency goes for running through codes. And just, you know, having that on hand is key to be efficient and quick. Because again, the whole thing, I know oftentimes, as you'd mentioned in the get-go, there's so many things to think about when you have a new location being built, especially from ground up, that the signs kind of sometimes can be, you know, a bit forgotten. There's certain customers we work with that plan years ahead of, you know, in advance. And that helps us out because then we're not so much under the gun to get things done quickly. You know, sometimes in the city of Chicago, a permit can take 6 months. So, you know, and you're telling me you want to open up in 3 months, and that can be an issue, right? So planning is huge. The more you can plan ahead of time, the better usually your store opening will go, especially with signs, because people don't realize, like you'd mentioned, I think, that it takes a while. Like, these things take a while to get municipality approval, to get permits. Manufacturing takes several weeks, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, depending on the sign, how large it is. So there's a lot of things that make the timeline what it is. And it usually is about a couple months to get a sign up on the wall. You know, it can be anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks, you know, pretty much good rule of thumb.
Yeah, and you bring up some really good points is that you've got to lay the expectations out for the customer. I mean, basically that lead time that you say about 8 to 12 weeks, I mean, I can see that. As I said, you know, when I ran my company for 10 plus years, when I was getting signage for our building, there were certain things I had no clue about, and the turnaround time definitely was not fast. So I can definitely see what you're trying to get to on that, and just, you know, again, walking the customer through the process, which now brings me to the next question is kind of lay down the, you know, the framework of what happens whenever a new customer comes in. Like, you know, what's the process? What do you do? I know you kind of laid it out a little bit earlier, but kind of take us through the entire step-by-step process to kind of, like, you know, from conception of the customer coming in to signage going all the way up.
More or less, like I said, that those are all things that we kind of have on top of mind, right? So as soon as someone's coming to me, it could be a brand new customer who I've never talked to before, and we're having our first conversation, and I haven't even seen a design yet. And these are all factors I'll be bringing up to them just to let them know ahead of time, because it's important to, you know, from really the first conversation to kind of set the expectations so we're all on the same page with what the final outcome will be, the timing of it, a ballpark, you know, cost, quote on it, you know, anything of that nature. You know, my kind of saying to my people internally that I think maybe applies with the sales cycle as well as actually managing the account is the more you can do up front, the easier the rest of it becomes from there, right? So if you put in the time and the effort to, you know, get a survey done of the actual location quickly, have code pulled, you know, immediately on it, and then, you know, having what the customer actually is expecting and the actual logo itself, that makes the rest of the process in the back end a lot easier. If it's all kind of overlooked, then that's where you run into issues down the road where, especially on, you know, tight timelines, you can't afford to go into the city and have the permit, you know, not approved first time around, because understanding that there are timelines for everybody. And if my grand opening is scheduled for a couple weeks from now, it's going to open, right? You know, it's going to open. So I better, you know, dang well better have a sign up. So all these things, you kind of from day one, I tend to try to bring up on the first conversation, you know, with whatever customer may be, whether it be a small, like mom and pop type of thing, all the way to like a Fortune 500 company who generally is going to kind of know a lot of these things because of their experience in the industry, the repetitions they have in it, right? This isn't their first rodeo. They've opened hundreds of stores. So this is stuff that, you know, might be repetitive for them to hear, but it's still important to, you know, to think about. Planning ahead of time is just key. is huge on many different levels. But it's something that we definitely, I think, from day one, really try to hammer home to the customer all those expectations, make sure we're on the same page, and you know, from there on out, we're heading in, if not exceeding expectations on all the different, you know, factors that play into it. So.
Okay, so you basically walked us through kind of what happens whenever a new customer comes into your account, and essentially you basically consult them, you talk to them, you get all the information up front so that they have the expectations laid out in front of them. And you know, as far as once everything's done, they've got the design that they want, they're happy with what it's going to look like, now we're going to go into production. And from kind of what I was seeing is that it looks like you guys have multiple locations. Do you guys, you know, subcontract, or do you guys do everything in-house? And on top of that, like, is everything, you know, how are things shipped? How are things, you know, go to the customer, that sort of stuff. So kind of like, you know, walk me through that steps as well too, so that our customers, like facility managers or property managers, understand exactly what the process is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So once you get through your due diligence and, you know, the sign has been approved, by a local municipality, from there typically it goes into manufacturing, right? And after it gets through manufacturing, which can take, depending on the sign, anywhere from 2 to 7 weeks, depending on how custom or large it may be. From there, we have, as you'd mentioned, we're a national company, so we have 3 different manufacturing facilities that we would have freight coming out of. One being in Wisconsin, Sheboygan, Wisconsin. The other being just out of a little north of Charlotte, North Carolina. And then the third being a little bit north of Dallas, Texas. So the way it works for us is, depending on the geographic location of the customer and the specific location, the order is strategically kind of routed through our CRM to make sure it goes to the correct facility, in order to really, the end goal here is to save costs. So I don't want to be shipping from Wisconsin to California, to Southern California, if I have a Dallas plant that I can utilize, you know, and make the same product, the same end result. However, I'm saving you thousands on shipping because you have a big sign package going from, you know, point A to point B. So, I mean, the way that works is somewhat straightforward, really. There's only so much you can say about, you know, I say somewhat straightforward, you know, weird things happen in transit, but pretty much you're just strategically placing an order to make sure that it's most efficiently manufactured and then shipped. You know, again, timing and cost is always huge for all these projects, so the location is going. And sometimes it's being, you know, directed and delivered directly to a site where I might have my local technicians receiving it there and installing it as it arrives. Other times it's being shipped to a local installer for them to hold on to until a store or facade may be ready for us, so on and so forth, especially when we have certain customers that do tend to plan months ahead. We take advantage of that. And when we can, we get the signs made, shipped, and out of our plant to our installer. So come the day, as soon as I get a call from that facilities manager, from that retail company I work with, hey, Tyler, I know we told you May, but it's the beginning of April, and we're ready for you. So we can get out there and get it up as soon as we can, because exposure is obviously huge for retail brands, getting their brand on the store, the actual facade. So the quicker we can get a sign up, the quicker they actually have local marketing to all the, you know, their local geographic location and the different demographics that might be coming through there that would be their, you know, target market and their customers. So that's also pretty imperative as well. You know, the quicker we can get a sign up, the quicker they have exposure, and hopefully that word, you know, starts getting around town and that creates some buzz, and they can usually utilize that to do their own local marketing to make sure they create the business they're looking to do.
I gotta say, I really like the way your company approaches on the consulting and just working with customers, communication, and making sure you're just kind of walking the customer through the process, through everything. You're holding their hand. And I think it's important, especially in today's day and age, where a lot of people kind of, you know, get lost in transition, if you will, because of so many moving parts. You guys are kind of eliminating that sort of stuff. That's awesome. You know, and so it's something that's really powerful to see for, you know, as a salesperson on my side, but also seeing it that it's working for your company.
Yeah, you're spot on, Javier. And that's kind of, you know, just going back to the whole, you know, we are a turnkey operation, you know, from consulting, like I said, from call one, and I don't know what this might be about, but I'm going to take this call, and I know it's going to be about signs. From there, and consulting them through that whole sales process to the orders placed, all the due diligence, manufacturing in our own warehouses where we do have, obviously, quality control, and we're buying our own materials, you know, to utilize. Quality control can be a huge thing for branding, right? So again, when you have any sort of quantities of locations, quality standardization is going to be something that's pretty, you know, important as far as just making sure that the signs look the same at all the locations and, you know, warranties are being upheld. And, you know, what you spec'd out to me is actually being what's manufactured, shipped and installed in the field. You know, where do things happen when you try to, you know, buy third party, you lose a bit of that control, right? So if I'm going with someone that might be more of a consulting firm and, you know, I have administrative abilities and I have a relationship with, you know, probably different, I'd say probably pretty quality manufacturing facilities. However, you just lose, there's a gap, right, between the order and actually being on control. And I can get photos at every start, you know, part of the process of it being manufactured in my own warehouse, knowing the material that we actually purchase and procure and hold, you know, in our own warehouse. So it's definitely an advantage. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I guess it could be a competitive advantage, you know, cost, efficiency, control. If I'm, for instance, if I don't own my own warehouses or have my own laborers in-house to manufacture this signage, then I don't have that ability necessarily to be like, this is a rush order. You know, this is one of our larger customers. We need to push this through. I have that ability. I can call my actual, you know, CMO, the guy who's head of all the manufacturing, and say, look, this is an important order. Like, this needs to get in. I understand lead times, but sometimes, you know, things need to be done and things need to be pushed forward. And I have that ability to do so. Whereas if it's a third party, they got 100 other guys that they're manufacturing signs probably for it as well. So it gives you a little bit less kind of push there and leverage. So it definitely plays a key in a potential competitive advantage as well. So,
you know, I know that before we started talking as well too, that you'd mentioned that you guys do a little bit of everything where you don't just focus on the Fortune 500s, the big giant stores, but you also do the mom and pops. And something else that you didn't mention to me, which I didn't really think much of, is, I mean, you do stuff for hospitals, you do stuff for, you know, more of the like nonprofits or other groups out there that need that sort of, you know, signage. And so you have experience and understanding, you know, of the different industries and markets that are out there, which is really great, which kind of shows that you guys are very well diverse.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I say we have a pretty diverse kind of portfolio of customers, you know, that's given us pretty important, you know, knowledge of the different industries and what to look for, what works, what doesn't work, you know, and definitely utilizing that knowledge and that background info that we have to help consult newer customers, existing customers, whatever it may be. But definitely, you know, I think that's one thing we do well is, you know, from manufacturing signs for large stadiums, you know, whether it be like a local large stadium like the United Center, something of that nature, all the way from that to just your typical inline retailer, you know. So we definitely, I'd say, have a diverse kind of book of customers, and that definitely plays a good role here as far as it's good for business, also, but also just seeing the different things that could come up. You know, so a retailer is not necessarily going to have a big need or need to know a lot about ADA signs and what might be required for the interior of a hospital. But that's something we'd have background info on, and we can, you know, kind of utilize our expertise in knowing, well, this needs to be 6 feet to the top of the sign from grade, and this needs, and this sign needs to have Braille on it, and this one doesn't. This can be illuminated, this can't be illuminated, you know, for different codes, depending on the industry we're in. Mostly right now speaking about hospitals, but different industries call for different signs.
Well, Tyler, thanks for your time again. I don't want to cut you off by any means, because I think what you're sharing is really important and valuable to all the people out there that are in the facilities or property management kind of world, if you will, or business owners. But, you know, this is kind of your chance to let people know a little bit more about how they can get in touch with you as far as just using you for future signage needs and, you know, what they need to do to contact you, that sort of stuff. But again, Tyler, really appreciate your time. This has been an awesome opportunity to kind of just learn a little bit more about what you guys are doing and what makes you guys successful and your approach and all that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just want to say appreciate your time, Javier, and bringing us on here to speak today and to get this exposure and just kind of shed a little bit of light more on the sign and lighting industry. If anyone's looking for any sort of consulting on new signage, signage maintenance and anything of that nature, really turnkey operations here at Kiefer Starlight, they can reach out to me at 847-415-5765, or they can reach out to me via email as well. My email is TNEUBAUER, it's T Neubauer, at Kiefer Signs, K-I-E, F-F-E-R, signs as plural, SIGNS.com. Feel free to reach out to me. I'd be happy to accommodate anyone's call and make sure I take care of them for any other signage needs, really. Any branding, signage, consulting needs, I'm your guy. So, but thanks again, Javier. Hopefully we can do this again sometime. But until then, I appreciate your time.
Awesome, guys. So again, that was Tyler Neubauer with Kiefer Starlight during this interview for our Facility and Property Management Secrets Radio. I hope you guys got some great information. My name is Javier Lozano Jr. I'm with CMI Mechanical. We are a national HVAC and refrigeration company that can service all of your HVAC refrigeration needs throughout the United States. If you guys want to be a part of our podcast, feel free to always reach out to me. I'm very accessible on social media, whether it's on LinkedIn, whether it's on Facebook, anything like that. You can find me on there. And wherever you find this, just simply subscribe to our podcast and share the information. Thanks a lot and have a great day, guys.